Tess Zion Elul, Monday the 19th of September, Rabbi Emmanuel Danan, Insights on Sefer Shmuel, the Haftorah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah.
Good morning, Rabbi Stein. Nice to have the opportunity. It's an honor to have the opportunity again to share a few with you a few words. But what I'm doing today is basically going through a few ma'aras, a few insights onto the Haftorah of Rosh Hashanah, first day Rosh Hashanah. The handouts are at the back, just as you come in. We won't be able to go through many psukim, but I do hope that they will shed some light on a few topics and you'll find it something to take home. So we read the Haftorah of Chanah and giving birth to Shmuel. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So the reason for that is Chazal tell us that Sora was Nifkad on Rosh Hashanah, and Chana was also Nifkad on Rosh Hashanah. I think Chana was childless for 18 years. I think it was 18 years, that's what I seem to recall. The first thing that came to my mind, what does Nifkad mean? How does Olam understand? What does it mean? The Imo's Sarah was Nifkad on Rosh Hashanah. Does it mean conceived? If it means conceived, it seems to be because the Malachim, according to... they came on Pesach, right. So, and then if it was conceived, that means she conceived on Rosh Hashanah and she gave birth at following Pesach, so that it was a child. Yitzchok was born for 7 months, right? It was. It can't be. There's not 9 months between Rosh Hashanah and
9 months after Rosh Hashanah, 7 months.
Right. So, and he was born on Pesach. So it must be that. But I think Nifkad. Sorry. Yeah. I'm not asking a question. It just comes out that the Yitzchok was born according to that in. He was a Ben Sheba, which means a child of 7 months. I thought Nifkad means decreed. Now we know that there's always a decree on Rosh Hashanah, yeah, but it's decreed without a change. I mean, it's definitely going to happen. No other decrees are tolo. You can do tshuva. You can change circumstance. A Nifkad means they were decreed. Sarah, in our case, Chana, they do agree with certainty that they will have children, they will bear children that year. So I was just thinking, well, what's the Losh and Nifkad? So I thought, Kudim. Kudim means the countings. The person set aside, the person who has been designated to do a certain tafkid, to fulfill a certain role. And that's what Nifkad means. Means until now, your time, your Avedas Hashem, however painful it was not to have children. Now you're Nifkad, you have a new role. You have a role to play and bring a child into this world. But it's all Pkudim, it's all, here I am. Behold, I am here to serve you. Thy will be done. I'm here to serve Hashem. My tafkid until now was not to have children, to serve Hashem without children, and now their tafkid has changed, and that could be the loshen of Nifkad, right? Yeah, a purpose, of course, yeah. So, let's just go through the psukim and see what we can see what we can take from it. Vayi ish echad min haramasayim, soifi mehar Ephraim, Yoshmoel Kono ben Yerucha ben Eliu ben Toichu ben Tzuf Ephrosi. What does Ramasai mean? This tells us he was from Tzoifim and from Har Ephraim. So Ramasaim, Chazal Rashi brings from one explanation from the Gemara in Megillah, means it was two peaks, Tzoifim, that they used to look at each other. I don't know, is there any significance in this? That he came from a place which consisted of two peaks, two hills, which one could oversee one from the other. I don't know if there's any significance in that. But that's why the place was called Ramasaim. Interestingly, the other pshat which Chazal say in Megillah is Mina Ramasaim. It doesn't mean the place, Bichlal. It means from the sons of Koyach, who were lifted up, yeah, Miloshen, yeah, Mirumo Shelailam, they were lifted up. That means they went into the depths of Gehinnom, and Hashem lifted them up from Gehinnom and found them a special place. That's Ramasai, means lifted, Ram. Elkanah was a descendant of Korach, so yeah, he was a descendant of Korach through his son Aviosof, yeah, as is mevorah in Divrei Yomim. So what does the word Ephrosi mean, Rabbi Yisai? Right, let's look at the pasuk. Vayi esh echad min haRamasai and Tzofim har Ephraim. He came from har Ephraim. Shmuel Elkanah ben Yerucham ben Eliu ben Toichu ben Tzuf. Ephrosi. Ephrosi can't mean from Ephraim. Elkanah came from Levi. So, yeah, so the first explanation, yeah, is the Targum. He took his Levite portion in Har Ephraim. What on earth does that mean? That means the Matnois Leviya, the Maestris, he took it in Har Ephraim. So, I can only, what was the significance of that? It seems to be that he was the Levi. You can have a Levi that you designate like a coin. I'd normally give my matonis to one particular person. He was the Levi, because of his stature, he was the Levi that people gave, that in Har Ephraim, they gave the maestros to. That's one explanation. Second explanation, a man of stature. Yeah, Ephrosi Miloshen Apirioin. Apirioin. Yeah, Asol HaShlemim is a lotion of a stature. So it's the same idea. Ephrosi, this, the Radak says, Ephrosi is not going on Elkanah. Ephrosi is going on Tzuf. That means, not only did he live in Har Ephraim, but his father as well was Ephrosi. In other words, they were an established family. They were an established Ephrosi family. He didn't just happen to live in Har Ephraim. He was already well established and part of the furniture. Veloy shtei noshim, and he had two wives. Achas Chana, the first one was Chana, as Shem Hashenis Pnina. Va'ili Pnina Yelodim, ulechana en Yelodim. Pnina had children and Chana did not. Why does it start off with Achas Chana? It starts off with Chana, his first wife, and his other wife was Pnina. And then it says, Pnina had children, and Chana did not have children. So maybe it could say, because that's the way you speak, if you want to say, you don't start with somebody who, oh, by the way, he didn't have children, but he did. You start the other way. The natural thing is to have children, so therefore, that's why, although we start speaking about Chana, we're telling you about Pnina first. She, Taka, had children, but Chana did not have children. Now here comes a fascinating Abarbanel. Abarbanel says that it doesn't say anywhere about Chana that she was an Akora, she was barren. It does not say anywhere. Always by the Akoras, it says the word Akora. Why does it not say that? It says that Abarbanel, because she didn't conceive children, but derech neis. Hashem made a nace that she did not have children straight away. Hashem desired her tefillah so strongly, yeah, that everything, there was nothing wrong, right? Biologically or, yeah, medically, there was nothing wrong. There was no reason they could understand why she didn't have children, and yet she didn't have children. But derech neis, he says, that's why it says later on, which possibly is about, Vashem Pasuk Hey Ki Eschana Ahe Vashem Sogarachma. Hashem closed her womb. What's the lashon Sogarachma? Yeah, what's it mean? It means really there was it was ready to be able to have children, but Hashem had to do something special that Hashem Kaviyachol closed her womb. It does not say this lashon as well by any other chorus. Says. Yeah, it says that Abarbanel, he artificially closed it. He had to do an action to close it. It's not something that was wrong there. Why? Because he would desire that tefillah so much. So I would so an undiagnosed infertility, people going through childlessness and it's undiagnosed, yeah. That is very, very difficult. Very, very particularly difficult. Why? Because the doctors say, well, we don't know. We don't know what's wrong. Yeah? Then you've got nobody to be put out. You've got, we can't fix this. Yeah? you only got one address to go to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that could be, yeah, here as well. There was nothing wrong with the body, yeah? And that could send a person extremely into despair. Yes. She took that and she channeled it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and look what it brought about. I thought that was a beautiful idea. Let's go on. Ve'ala ishahu me'iroi miyomim yomima. This Elkanah used to go up from a yearly lishtachavayz v'lizbach Hashem tzavokayz b'shiloi v'shem shnei bnei eli chofni u'pinchas kanim l'shem. So, but the simple explanation is miyomim yomima is yearly. What was going on? He went annually to Shiloi. Well, what's annual? If he was doing Aliyah L'Regel, three times a year. If it wasn't Aliyah L'Regel, so what was it? And Chazal do say it was Aliyah L'Regel. So one explanation is does say that Yamim Yamim, you have to say, it doesn't mean annually. It means every Moed, every designated time. It could be. Now, it seems that Elkanah, if you learn like this, yeah, maybe, yeah, it seems that Elkanah, Chazal learned from the fact that Pasuk has to tell us that he continuously went out from his house, from his city to Mishkan, he used to always go on different routes. Why did he used to travel different routes to get to Shiloh Rabbeisai? To convince other people, to show, look what I'm doing, I'm going up to Shiloh, you should also join me. And he managed to convince, to sway people his way. What do you mean? Why were people not going up? Why were people not Eilel Regel anyway? It seems to be that there was no chiyuv of Aliyah L'Regel until the Beis HaMikdash. Only by the Beis HaMikdash was an actual obligation. It was a good thing to do, L'man Tilma L'Yirah Es Hashem Elekecha, but nevertheless, the obligation was not there, and that's how he convinced. So maybe, I was just thinking, maybe if we're correct in that understanding, maybe that's why as well, even Elkanah, if we learn Kepshuta, Yomim Yomina means annually, means even he didn't go all three regalim. Yeah, he only went once a year. There was no obligation in those days to go out for the three regalim, but he had made it at least a job of going once a year. And perhaps that's the way he convinced the other people as well. I'm not asking you, don't go all the way, you know, don't become extreme in one day. Just take on a little bit at a time. Look at me, I'm only going once a year. The Ralbag says on this pasuk, that although he went up to Shiloh for all the regalim, yeah, but only Miyomim Yomima did he take his whole family with. His whole, yeah? And the Miyomim Yomima, Va'ala Ishu Miyomim Yomima, I don't know how you see that possible. That means the man with all his possessions, with everything, went once a year. Of course, he himself personally went three times a year. The Rabbat seems to be dealing with this point. Well, why is he not going three times a year? And this is how that's his mehalik. So okay, here now we have an obvious question here. V'shem shnei bnei eli chofni u'finchas kanim l'shem. What? The names of his children were Chofni and Pinchas and kanim l'shem. What's that got to do with anything here? So the Mefarshim says it because you're going to be reading into the next perek about Chofni and Pinchas. The apostle deals with them very severely. It's as if the apostle accuses them of sleeping with the women of Israel, and the Chazal Darshan because they used to delay the kinim, the korbanos that Yeledes used to bring. They used to delay and said, "Listen, it's too late now. We've got to go. We can't pressurize ourselves." And they used to make her wait till the next day, and that way she couldn't cohabit with her husband. And that's in a way. That was their chait, and like we find by Reuven, the apostle speaks as if he slept with his father's wife. Same here, from the fact that they delayed the pruvu, they delayed the relationships between husband and wife. The apostle uses that severe terminology as if they slept with those women. So therefore, the Novi now gives us a small introduction, very very briefly, Oh, you want to know about who is this Chofni and Pinchas? By the way, they were the Kohanim of Hashem. But it's still very interesting. It's in the middle. We're now dealing with Chana and Shmuel. He should throw Eli and Pinchas there in the middle is a question which is asked. Have a look at the Al-Sheikh. He used to give Pnina, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions of the meat. Right, the shlomim. So he used to give Pnina some of those Pnina and the children some of the portion. Ulechana yiten mana achas, and to Chana he will give. Mana achas apoyim. Kieschana ahev, Vashem sogar rachmo. So, and to Chana he gave a portion, apoyim. What does that mean? Kieschana ahev, because he loved Chana, and Hashem sogar es rachmo. Sogar rachmo. What is pshat here in the word apoyim? So, Rashi says, is mana bechirta, it means the choicest. He gave her the best meat. He gave her the best, prime cut, thank you. Yeah, the best cut of the meat. And one of the Mefarshim, Rabbeinu Yeshaya, says the word apayim means faces. It means it was a bone which had lots of faces of meat. In other words, it was meat from all around. That's the meaning of apayim. So that means he gave her over and above the others. Why? Because he loved her so much. And Hashem sogar rachma, and Hashem had prevented her from bearing children. Why do you need to give two explanations why he gave her a choicest portion, Rabbi Sai? Is it because he loved her, or is it because he had to appease her because of the pain that she was undergoing? Sorry?
It's all one thing.
What do you mean, one thing?
He loved her, and if he wanted to appease her because of her childlessness.
Oh, so right. So that means he needed to show that her pain means something to him. But do you really need to say that he loved her?
No, you don't.
Do you really need to? Right,
understand.
Thank you.
Yeah?
I think, it's quite, it's... So I would like, so he felt, I had an explanation here. Hashem, he loved Chana. Yes, I wanted to say the explanation. This explanation. Tell me if you agree. Chazal take Yaakov to task for doing what Rabbi Yisai, Ksenus Pasim, for showing Chazal.
Very, very
fascinating. Chazal do not accuse Yaakov for favoring Yosef or for loving Rachel more. What do they accuse him for? Displaying that love more, yeah. What do you want if a father loves a child more? Okay, maybe he can. But what do you want him to do now? He does love one particular child more, but you don't display that love. So I would like to say he loved Chana more than Pnina, and that's okay, yeah. Vashem sogar es rachmo, but he had learnt from Yaakov. He had learnt from Yaakov that you cannot display favoritism, yeah. Therefore, he could not, just because he loved Chana more, display favoritism. Vashem sogar es rachma. No, but she needed extra. She was going under enormous pain. So Pnina would understand, yeah, that this is an extra appeasement because of the pain that she's going through, that her husband has to show her, go that extra mile to show her that imo chani anoichi betzara. That's what I wanted to explain. Abava now says a beautiful pshat. Apayim means af. Af means anger. Anger or distraught. Distraught. He gave her her portion, but apayim, it pained him. Every year he had to give her. Every year. Yeah? When it comes to the hardest part of the Yom Tov for childless couples is Yom Tov. The hardest part of the year is Yom Tov. The family's there and it's a simcha, and there's still that bit that hollow, that feeling of emptiness and loneliness. Every year he had to do something to appease her, but it hurt him, and that's the way he was sharing the burden. He did what he can. Obviously, he can't relieve the whole pain, but he did what he can. And that as well he learned from Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu was taken to task. Kach oinin esame unois. When he says, sorry? Atachas elikim, thank you. Atachas elikim, only am I, when Rachel said, I'm like a dead person, because I don't have children, he says, Atachas elikim, and Chazal take him to task. That's the way you answer the people in pain. Chazal did not say that he was wrong. Of course, Yaakov had a cheshbon. A person on your level of Bitochen Rachel, yeah, you know that's from Hashem, and you're going to the wrong address. You're going to me, and it's Hashem that you need to cry to. So he, of course, but nevertheless, Chazal take him to task. She's in pain. When a person is in pain, you cannot speak rationally to a person, right? You have to have Rachmonus, and you have to, yeah? As they say, B'Shem Baal Shem Tov, what was Apikorsus, yeah, heresy created? Because Klape Yenem, for me, I have to have Bitochen. But when Yenem comes to me with his Torah, I have to pretend there's no Hashem. Because otherwise, I'll say, well, it's all Bashar, it's all Xerem Rishamayim, and I won't have any mercy on my fellow friend. So he went that extra mile and he showed Chana that he's also in pain. I just thought that was a beautiful idea. Apaim is loshen af, right? V'chi asot tarasa gam kas ba'avur hare'imo. Now this is what the island wanted discussion. V'chi asot tarasa gam kas. Her co-wife Pnina caused her pain. Provoked her pain. Ba'avur hare'imo. Ra'amim, Rabbi Yisai. Barak is lightning. Ra'amim is thunder. What does it mean in order to bring thunder? Alan, what does it mean in order to bring thunder? She provoked her pain. She caused her to be angry. Ba'avur hare'imo.
Maybe she wanted to try and encourage her to stop. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, that's Chazal Darshan in Bava Basra Tezayin Amud Aleph. She caused her pain so that she should thunder the heavens with her tefillas. Kisagar Hashem be'ad Rachma. Kisagar Hashem be'ad Rachma. Sorry.
Wait.
Just.
No. What? Can't cause her pain.
Okay. So this is. I think this is what we're going to be discussing to the end of Shia, this parasha of Pnina. So Pnina caused pain to Chana. Why? Because she saw what she was going through. Kisoga Hashem be'ad Rachma. According to the Abarbanel, it's beautiful. Kisoga Hashem be'ad Rachma. This was unexplained infertility. Yeah. Therefore, there's only one reason for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a tefillas. So let's do it. Let's do whatever it takes to get this woman to thunder the heavens. And she caused the pain day after day. As the Medrash says, this is what she said. Mach'eses v'choizeres u'mach'eses. She did it constantly, day in, day out, the whole time. Maha v'somar, like, what did she used to say? Zamat lebrach rabba suda v'ksoynes v'chanuk. Did you buy your son a new bar mitzvah suit? Yeah? Amar Rav Nachman Bar Abba, Haisa Pnina Mashkemes Voimeres Lechana, Ein Atoy Medes Umachetes Pneima. Are you not going to wash your children's face? Yeah, Shelvanai Kedei Sheilchu Lebeis Hasefer, so they can go to school clean. And at lunchtime, Haisa Meres Lechana, Ein Atoy Medes. Are you not going to receive? Are you not going to stand at the door and receive your children coming home for lunch? Right? Well, yeah, that's how she used to. Rav Kois Echad Ban Rav Kois Echad Tanchum Bar Abba. Rav Kois Echad Tanchum Bar Abba. That's a funny name, isn't it? Rav Kois Echad Tanchum Ben Abba. Omar, how you yoshim lechol v'yel kono noisen lechol echad v'echad mibon avchel. He used to give them me. Yeah? Oysa pnino miskaven l'tzachis. Give Shmuley, give Malki her meat. You gave him, he didn't give him. You gave him a bit. Yeah, she used to prolong the conversation about who's getting what. Why? Because her co-sister was there. Tremendous pain. Now, first of all, I don't know if you agree with this. I don't think she actually said to the words to Chana, are you not going to receive your children from lunchtime. It doesn't make sense. I mean, you know she doesn't have children. Yeah? So what does it mean? Are you not going to buy new clothes for your children? It doesn't make sense at all. I just wanted to say, and I'm open for ideas, that she did it in her face. Yeah? She shoved it in her face. Instead of doing it in a sensitive way, getting the kids dressed in the bedroom or something like that, she did it in Chana's face. She showed her how busy she was with the children and how she was taking care of her. And she made sure Davka for Chana to see it. And that's provocation in the face. And that caused a tremendous pain. Right? It's always a debate how to... How sensitive should a family be in front of a childless couple? Should you just continue life and not change, or there is an element of sensitivity? So here she Davka went out of the way to provoke her. Yeah.
Just the four words Dovin Milk says: "Give to Ezra Shabbos."
Okay, she thought otherwise. So now.
Just recently, you had the. Theresa May and that Laystrom lady, she's sort of saying exactly the same thing.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. So, Chazal said she was Mechavin L'Shem Shemayim. Pnina, I was just thinking, Rabbeinu Gershom on the Gemara in Bava Basra says, just like Ein Re'omim B'loik Shomim, that means whenever there's thunder, it's a siman that what, Rabbi Isai? That the rain's going to come. So too, Tfilah Ein Tfilah. Yeah? No tefillah goes unheeded. That means it will be answered. And she genuinely made the Shem Shemayim. However, as you know, she was punished severely. Pnina was punished severely. Let's see the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, yeah, in the Shira in Perek Beis, first of all, Perek Beis is on the second page of the Hebrew ones.
My
wife, my mouth has widened against my enemies. Who's my enemies? Pnina. Yeah, Rashi says why? Because she was Megai. She acted arrogantly against Chana by causing all that pain. Right. Al tarabu, the Pasuk Gimel says, Al tarabu the dabru gavah gavah. Don't speak haughty, arrogant matters. Yeah, yete osad mipeichem. That means when words of abuse come out from your mouth. That means when things are going your way, you think you're God's gift to mankind. You can say whatever you like. You don't have to give any accountability. No, watch it. When things are going your way, you should still not be haughty. Rashi tells us who was she talking about. She's talking about Orishaim, who are presently successful, but she specifically meant against Pnina. But what's going on? Pnina was L'Shem Shemayim. Now, if you tell me, yeah, but Chana didn't know that, so what's it doing in the Shira? Why does the Navi, this is Ruach HaKodesh, this is the Shira, and we say it, it's part of the Shira, so it doesn't make sense that there shouldn't be any truth in it if Taka Pnina was Mechav L'Shem Shemayim. Not only that, the Pasuk says that Seveim Balechem Niskoru Revim Chadelu Ad Akara Yolda Shiva. The barren woman gave birth to seven children. Rabbas Bonim, the one who had many children, Pnina, who had 10 children, Umlala, became miserable because she lost all her children. Chazal say every time Chana had 5 children. 3 boys and 2 girls. Every time Chana had a child, 2 of Pnina's children died. Yeah? So why does it say Chana had 7 children, Rabbi Isai? Because by the last child, 5th child, when she was pregnant with the 5th child, obviously Pnina chapta pachad, what's going to happen now, she's going to lose all her children. She went, was mishtateach, she prostrated herself to Pnina and says, please pray that my children shouldn't die. She prayed, and because of her prayers that they survived, it's as if they're her children. Right, that's why the Pasuk speaks about her as if she had 7 children, because even those 2 children of Pnina survived are attributed to Chana because of a koach of a tefillah. Why was she punished so severely if it's a Shem Shemayim? So because you don't do such a thing. Okay, but even if you don't do such a thing, but it's Rachmana for a good reason. So the Al-Sheikh, right? Okay. There is a Sichas Musar, Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Tavshin Lamed Aleph. Tavshin Lamed Aleph, Lamed Dalet. Sicha Lamed Dalet, that says you cannot hurt somebody no matter what your kavana is. I'd like to show, I find that a bit difficult, even if it's true, but to be such a severe punishment, to me, that just didn't sit well. I'd just like to share with you, and we'll finish with this, the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh says she had a double kavana. That's why it says, V'chi asata, tsarasa, gam tsara. She was pain. Pnina was in pain. She knew that Elkanah loved Chana more. Yeah, when a person's in pain, when a person's jealous, yeah, an arrogant person, it's a reflection of the fact that his self-confidence is low, right? Therefore, he needs to speak arrogantly to lift himself up. She spoke arrogantly there. But the Yetzer Hara is not grub. Yeah, the Yetzer Hara doesn't come to you on a Shabbos and tell you, take out a cigarette and smoke. Right? It's so it was camouflaged behind the Shem Shomayim. She also did it L'Shem Shomayim. So that means about that she was Mechavan L'Shem Shomayim, but there was an element of jealousy and arrogance there. That's why she got punished. Which is an incredible thing. Even though it was L'Shem Shomayim, yeah, she was punished because there was an element of, she did it out of arrogance. And I was just reminded of Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim says, when you speak Loshon Hara L'Toelis, somebody asks you information about Shidduch, employment, you have to, even though you're allowed to say the information, because it's L'Toelis, you have to be Mechaben L'Shem, you have to be Mechaben L'Toelis, not because you hate Yenna's guts. If you're doing that, and Chofetz Chaim wants to go so far and say, if I give over information to somebody which was useful, and he made use of that information, yeah, for instance, for Shidduch, but I didn't know he was asking for Shidduch, but I gave him information, everything was true, but my kavana was to degrade him, I am over on the Issur of Lashon Hara. That is Lashon Hara. Even though, what do you mean? If you would have asked me, and I would have told him exactly the same words, yeah, just l'shem for tzelis to help you, it would be a mitzvah to help you because lo yisam adam demecha. But since I was mechaven for degrading him, even though those very words are permissible, that makes it mitzvah. So same here. It was more. Even if we say it was mutzah, but as soon as she had some sort of anah, some sort of arrogance, and she managed to build herself up through crushing Chanadav, she was punished so severely. And that's the lesson, that even if we're hurting our fellow friend, L'Shem Shomayim, we have to know that it's 100%, yeah, a noble motive. Yeah, maybe we zoicha, L'Shon HaTov Musuka, and Shnas, Sibuch HaSimotov.
Thank you.